Again, we are joined by Jacob Silber. My name is Rich Hershen. My co-host is Gary Goldman, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs.
Jacob, in talking earlier, you indicated you've been in business for a couple of years. How has the growth been over those 2 years? And what are you projecting next year, 3 years out, 5 years out? And how do you honestly think you're going to reach your objectives?
That's a great question. So right now we're at about 18 people. We're self-funded. So if that gives you any sense of sort of how we work, you know, really, I think the key to any sector or any business you're going into is trial and error. And I was actually, I've talked to basically everyone I bring into the company. I say, look, I don't know the answer, but if we get enough smart people together, we'll figure the answer, and 8 or 10 of those answers will be wrong. And so what we really need to build is a company where we can rapidly test and discard the ideas that don't work. And then the ideas that do work, we know how to scale them. And so that's really the key to our success. And so
of those 18 people, do you have a legal expert, an accounting expert, a financial expert? What are the components of the 18 people?
So about half of them are analytics slash operations, and those are people who have very strong STEM backgrounds and would typically both do the analysis as well as run online marketing campaigns. We have about 6 engineers, and typically they're, I would say 90% of the people in the company code, but the engineers are really focused on what I'd call more infrastructure, like building websites, building connectors. We have a dedicated HR person. We actually made a decision very early on to bring someone in to just manage the hiring process. And that's allowed us to really bring in the best people we could find and really make it a core expertise to find good people. We have a couple of business development people. And then I'm the chief dishwasher. So I actually have a background on the finance side, as well as someone on the accounting side, and I've managed legal teams before, so we outsource a lot of those relationships. But what I kind of do is do the first pass, and so I wash all the bottles in that regard for the most part. That said, we have people with financial backgrounds on the team and the analytics side and the business development side as well. So
it sounds like you have a pretty varied background, a lot of experience. How did you get into this company? What made you decide to launch this company?
That's a great question. So it actually started in 2013. I joined a group called Link Ventures, and I joined one of their startups, basically as head data scientist. And I didn't have a lot of experience in digital marketing, but I was pretty convinced that if you wanted to be successful in the internet business, and actually I'm starting to feel generally that you want to be successful, that you need to understand digital marketing, because really there's just a huge amount of spend moving from what I'd call traditional marketing mechanisms to online marketing. So I really joined because I wanted to understand that better. I worked with that startup for about 1.5 years, and then I went to the partners at Link Ventures and I said, look, you know, we don't have a company right now in real estate. There's this huge sector. We have this huge data pool we've been building for 10 years, hundreds of millions of user records. We need to take that and use it for what's becoming one of really the average American's biggest expense. And that's, you know, typically people are spending 40%+ of their total income on real estate. So it wasn't that I had any natural sort of brilliant insight about real estate. I said, look, there's a big opportunity. There's not companies that have sort of are doing a lot of new things. We have the data. Let's build something in there and let's figure out what we can build in there that's going to be exciting and sort of push the real estate industry forward in terms of its ability to create transactions successfully.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you faced, and how do you overcome them, from the idea and wanting to start this whole thing to where you are today of a company with 18 employees and growing?
And have you reversed course somewhere along the line after seeing that it wasn't quite going right?
You know, when I sort of told people the first year that I really thought there was an opportunity in short-term rentals, but the apartment rentals or long-term rental space, and that if it turned out after a certain period of time we just couldn't find something, that we would pivot. So I've tried to remain what I call pretty agnostic about what we were doing, but that, you know, there's got to be something in real estate. So we've made a lot of mistakes, and I don't think that's a problem, because we tried to make the mistakes incredibly fast and fail fast and move on. And, you know, I was just reading this article in Fast Company yesterday, actually, about how the biggest, most innovative internet companies run now tens of thousands of experiments a year. And now we can't do that because we're 18 people. But if we can run 10, 20, 30 experiments a year and we can get multiple shots on goal, I feel like as a startup with a small group of people, that's a really big success. And we've had successes. We've had things where we've gotten really far down the pipeline and realized it wasn't going to be as big as we thought it was going to be. You know, we're moving forward and we have a really great BD team who's constantly out talking with people. And the way I sort of see the BD team is that those are our eyes and ears. They're constantly out talking with people in the industry and finding out where's the pain point, where they need audience generation help, and what we can do in that regard.
It's fabulous.
It's great hearing your story today. What about, we talked earlier about growth. What about, are there impediments to growth in terms of the financial side? How are you going to finance your growth?
That's what I would say the only thing I think about. That's not the only thing I think about, but I think about that a lot. So really the key is we've got to find an opportunity and within a couple of months prove it to ourselves that we can generate growth from that area. And so you know, sort of going back to our failing fast, what we've figured out is we've gone from, you know, a structure maybe even a year ago where we you know, might have taken us a month to build something and test it. We're trying to build MVPs now, you know, minimum viable products that we can test in days. And that really gives us an ability to go out and do more deals, and doing more deals means that we can find more opportunities. So I think the biggest innovation is for us to more deeply understand the channels we're operating in, whether it's social, display advertising, email. We don't do a lot on the search engine side because that's pretty active already in the real estate space, so we don't really have a competitive advantage there. Figure out how to build a test, and one of the big advantages is as you move forward, you can understand what the data means. So we've run a test. Here's the click rate. Here's the engage rate. Here's the conversion rate. When we run another test, we can compare that. We can say, okay, this test was better than the prior test. We have benchmarks constantly going forward. So we know if we're improving, even if it's in a slightly different sector, we can start to understand what the cost and value landscape looks like. I mean, every day I'm thinking about what's the next test we run? What's the test we run in 3 months? Where is BD on qualifying an opportunity? Are they bringing something in that looks like it's big enough for us to make a significant impact in our revenue so that we can hire the next people so we can do more tests? So, and then what have we built already that's running? How can we stabilize it? How can we automate it? Like, again, what I was saying about 90% of the people in the company code. Or even have coding backgrounds, we're constantly thinking about automating what we're doing and putting it into what I'd call maintenance mode where we can watch it carefully, but it's not going to require the whole company to run.
Well, it sounds like you've got a great idea with a lot of possibilities and certainly a great plan to bring it forward. If anyone who's listening wants to get a hold of you or learn more about Tenazin, how do they best do that?
The best thing to do is to shoot me an email, jacob@tenazin.com. You know, we don't do much with phones anymore. So we do have a phone, but I don't think anyone
actually...
No one
knows a number?
It's unlisted.
No one actually picks it up, so... you know, I guess I'm old enough to feel like you got to have a phone number still. So,
right.
but not so old that I feel like someone needs to pick it up actively. So, you know, so, I definitely I'm looking at my email all the time, just like everyone else.
And your
out there
website is tenazin.com.
Yeah,
and TENIZEN.
That's exactly right. TENIZEN.com, and I'm sure everyone's wondering where the heck did that name come from. And I'll just tell you very quickly. So I wanted something that basically represented apartments. So I liked the word denizen, which is basically someone who lives somewhere. But, of course, Levi's Jeans own Denizen. So I couldn't take the denim from Denizen. So I just threw a T for tenant on the front, and that's where it came from.
I get it.
Well, great. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Once again, we were joined by Jacob Silber. My name is Rich Hershen. My co-host is Gary Goldman, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs.